The epistle appointed to be read for this, the sixth Sunday after the Epiphany, and for the 25th Sunday after Pentecost. It is found on the sixth Sunday after the Epiphany. It's taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Brethren, we give thanks to God always for you all, continually making a remembrance of you in our prayers, being mindful before God and our Father of your work in faith and labor and charity, and your enduring hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. We know, brethren, beloved of God, how you were chosen. For our gospel was not delivered to you in word only, but in power also, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much fullness, as indeed you know what manner of men we have been among you for your sakes. And you became imitators of us and of our Lord, receiving the word in great tribulation with joy in the Holy Spirit, so that you became a pattern to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you the word of the Lord has been spread abroad, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith in God has gone forth, so that we may need say nothing further. For they themselves report concerning us how we entered among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to await from heaven Jesus, his Son, whom he raised from the dead, who has delivered us from the wrath to come. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to the crowds. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. This indeed is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it grows up, it is larger than any herb and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and dwell in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and buried in three measures of flour until all of it was leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables, and without parables he did not speak to them, that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, this morning I have numerous things that I need to dwell upon, because, as we all know, we are approaching very quickly the season of Advent. It's only 2 weeks, two Sundays away from today. So therefore, we have a few things that we have to begin to think about. However, first of all, this morning, I remind you that we have catechism class after this Mass. Immediately after this Mass this morning, the oblates will be attended to by Father Sebastian, whether they become novices or renew profession or whatever. I must use the word privilege. I might even have to use the word honor for an oblate. Not because of the exalted position that we may be considered to have, because that's beside the point and silly to think that way, but because an oblate is called to be closer. He and or she, in other places they speak of it as a third order. An oblate shares in all the blessings, in all the prayers, in all the good works, in all the things that pertain to the order of monks and nuns that they become oblates of. They share in all the privileges and all the blessings. However, an oblate must also remember what he or she is about. And it is not just simply, I'm now a third order and that's that. There are no particular prayers that an oblate has to say, no particular bits of office or whatever that an oblate is obliged to. An oblate is not really obliged to any particular form of prayer as far as obligation goes. But an oblate is always expected, hopefully, to be loyal to his order or her order, and to defend his order and her order. And today you know well enough that everything holy today has to be defended. And so an oblate is there also to stand as a soldier, as it were, outside the bounds and limits of his monastery or her convent or whichever, and to defend and protect and pray for and look after, as it were, the monastery or the convent. That's probably the main thing, particularly today. At this point, I want to mention something. I had mentioned to two or three people earlier this week that I had something extremely important to announce to all of you this morning. Well, it is important, I think, but since I mentioned this to you, we decided to do some sideline research. And what I was about to tell you was horrible, indeed. But upon research, and this is supposed to be journalistic honesty, okay? Journalistic honesty, you tell it is like it is, and not like you think it is, or for you to place interpretation upon it. So, what I was about to say was interpreted, was not as it should be, and it was completely false. And it was spread about, or has been spread about, as being true. My beloved people, if we cannot have, at least we have, what is absolutely undeniably true, what are we here for? And this is one thing sure for all of us, that whatever comes from this spot, or whatever comes in any form away from here, you can count on it as being true. And that's that. I'm perturbed. I'm provoked. I'm very much provoked that those who stand up today to speak are not always intellectually honest. I'm sorry that you have to put up with that. And I apologize for those of us who have to put up with things that are very, very difficult at times to deal with. We're living in a world that is totally confused, And for heaven's sake, would you come here? I hope, in the name of God, I hope that we do not add to the confusion. That's all I hope. We must all pray that honesty and clear definition of what we believe in will always be presented to us. Always, always. And I want you to pray very especially that we will be given the grace always to be able to ferret out those things which are simply not true, which today in the internet, anything you look for is there. And I hope you all read last week's bulletin concerning the internet. And if anybody did not get a copy of last week's bulletin concerning that, we have quite a few. So, enough for that. Pray, for goodness sake, that the house of God be wisely ruled by the wise. That's all. You came here to pray. You come, you live your religion, you live it life at home, your holy religion, to pray and to be close to God, to be close to Jesus and the Blessed Mother Mary. Let it not be invaded by just anything and everything that anybody and everybody today can throw at us. It just isn't worth it to live that way. Enough for that. Thursday of this week is Thanksgiving Day. Again, there are those that condemn Thanksgiving Day as being inappropriate, as being unholy, as being pagan, as being this and a dozen other things. It doesn't matter who, what, how, when, or where. Thanksgiving. When did it become wrong for us to give thanks to God? That part will always be there for us to do. We have turned it into other things, perhaps, but if the main thing is a thanksgiving to Almighty God, who is it in here that cannot say that during the past year has not received many blessed gifts from God, for which any one of us have to be thankful? If later you want to eat, fine, we're going to. If later you want to look at a football game, fine, we're not going to. So, whatever and whatever. Friday, by custom, goes back to the good, to I don't know when. Friday is after Thanksgiving, is not a day of abstinence. For us, that we can eat meat on that Friday, the reason being there are always lots of leftovers from the day before because it's big day to eat. And so we cook until we can't cook anymore. Rather than throw away, the church says, don't throw it away, eat it. So Friday, and any form, it's not restricted to the things that were cooked the day before. It is simply not a day of abstinence, period. And enjoy them. Now, Advent, as we get ready, there are certain little family customs that we promote here. Primarily for the welfare of our children. Our children are not always given the example that they should be given by their parents. I'm not saying that about us, but I'm saying it. I'm speaking generically and generally. And our children see things and hear things and do things that are simply inappropriate for anybody, much less children. And their parents either look away, or they give them the bad example, or they put it down, or whatever. And today, many things, again, let's go back to the internet and to the television and to the computer. You know better than we do at the monstrous sights that are presented to the little children for them to see. They're ugly sights and ugly things. The least that we should do is to present to our children that which is beautiful, and to let them see that that which is beautiful is better than that which is ugly. That's what they need to see in a day, in a place, in a world that thrives on ugliness. If you ain't ugly today, you just ain't. You have to be ugly to be looked at. If somebody walks down the street looking decent, they are not very welcome. The first thing we want to talk about is the Advent wreath. We strongly recommend the Advent wreath. The place for the Advent wreath, we're going to, I hope we'll get ours out. It's already up in the sacristy. Ours out in here for you to see next Sunday. You don't have to do it the way we do it, because this is a larger place and a larger room. We can do it in a larger way. But simply a little wreath, nice little wreath, decorated nicely by the members of the family and put on the dining room table with four candles, each week lighting another candle. And each week participating in the prayers that are assigned for that particular week. Now, here comes the rub. It is not the place of the littlest child to read the prayers of the blessing for the Advent wreath. That job belongs to the father of the family. Did you hear that, fathers? It belongs to the father of the family. It belongs to the father of the family to raise his hand to bless. That's the way it is. And when the father of the family is not there, then it falls to the mother of the family. We have got to put the father of the family back where the father of the family belongs. And that's that. And that means that if the father of the family is where he belongs, then his obligation and responsibility is to be mindful of the fact that he is holding the place of Jesus Christ in that house. And as such, he is obliged to see to it that everything in that house is arranged according to the order that would be comforting and proper for him to come in to our house, your house, as a guest. Is that asking for the unreasonable? I find it hard to think that it is unreasonable. So let us, at least us, my beloved people, you heard this morning's words coming from St. Paul. That's where it is. It isn't in us going in the corners of the streets and preaching and teaching, as some people think, or going around dressed in strange outfits or whatever. It is simply doing the little things in the little way in our own houses as we teach our children. And as each week we light a candle in that household, each week we are reminded of what is about to happen, the coming of the Savior. Nothing, all the history of all mankind is summed up in that one event. And it was that one act of disobedience, one single solitary act of disobedience, just one, that brought all of this about. But you know, on Holy Saturday, when the priest sings the preface, he sings out loudly, "O happy thought." We rejoice. Unfortunately, but we rejoice that sin was committed, because of that sin, it brought to us Jesus Christ, which if that hadn't happened, we would not have had Christ. How wonderful and how thankful we have to. You see how God works. He works in mysterious ways. Now there's another little custom that we promote, and that is the custom of blessed wheat. Pretty soon we will bless some wheat, and we'll have packages, and we'll have it all up here. And you come up here and you take some packages. In the meantime, in preparation for this, you can get some little container, those little aluminum containers that, you know, you do small baking items in. You get them at the grocery store, not large, just small ones. And in each of these containers, one for the father, one for the mother, one for this child, and one for the next child, and put a little soil in it. And every time during the period of Advent that you find that you have conquered one of your inclinations, a cuss word, a hate thought, a meanness, an anger fit, or 10,000 other things, every time that you know that you have conquered one of those, get a grain of wheat and go plant it in your own container. Every time the littlest child is obedient and has performed an act of obedience without the usual difficulties attached to disobedience, that little child goes and gets one grain of wheat and plants it and watches it grow as we approach the holy season of Christmas. And when Christmas comes, your gift, the baby Jesus, each of you goes and picks up his little pot with the grains of wheat in it and brings that to the baby Jesus. What more on earth could we bring to him? We have to learn, blessed people, where blessedness really is. And we have to live according to that blessedness. Christ does not need my silver and my gold. He needs my heart. That's all that matters. And when you bring up your little present to him, it might seem insignificant. And them who look and cannot understand, or who do not want to understand, will think it is so silly. How silly can you be? Every grain of wheat, every blade of grass, every blade of wheat that comes up indicates, gives evidence to a conquering. There is no army on earth that is strong enough to equal the strength that it was required for me. When I am about to explode in a fit of anger, and I shake all over in my anger, but I will say no. That's where it is. No army that has ever walked on earth has exercised more strength or power. That's the beginning of Advent. And the father and the mother must give the example to the little children. It isn't to become, it should not ever become a marathon of, look, I've got six blades of grass, you've only got three. You know? Each one tends his own little planter and keeps his eyes away from the other. And our Lord baby Jesus is not going to say to you on Christmas Day, oh, you've got 12. Your brother has got 15. He gave me more than you did. No. If you have one act that you have sincerely and conscientiously conquered, you have given the whole universe to our Lord Jesus Christ, who loves us that much. And I wish to close off this morning with a thought to remember from G.K. Chesterton. When Christianity comes to terms with the world, it will be the end of Christianity. And I wish to quote, too, a thought from Cardinal Newman, which is so pointed to us. It's in the bulletin. I thank God that I live in a day when the enemy is outside the church, and I know where he is and what he is up to. But I foresee a day when the enemy will be both outside the church and inside the church. And I pray now for the poor faithful who will then be caught in the crossfire.